So do you remember what happened 2 years ago today? If you're in New Jersey and New York, you do. Hurricane Sandy devastated those states and the Mid-Atlantic coast, killing 147 people and causing billions of dollars in damage. Rockaway, that thin peninsula jutting into the ocean from Queens, was hit particularly hard. And 2 weeks after the storm, we spoke to Donovan Richards, then chief of staff to New York City Councilman James Sanders. Now, it's a shaky phone line. Everything was shaky then, but we asked about relief efforts.
FEMA did not arrive in a timely fashion, nor did the Red Cross. If it wasn't for everyday citizens, the Rockaways would be in a shape that is unfathomable.
But the Red Cross received a lot of praise for its response to Sandy from President Obama, from other officials and celebrities who all encouraged people to donate to the organization, and they did, more than $300 million. On television, the Red Cross called its own response to Sandy near flawless. Now, there are surely people who can point to the Red Cross being a lifesaver over the years, but a new NPR and ProPublica investigation has uncovered serious problems with the charity's response to Sandy and is raising questions about whether the organization's obsession with public relations hinders its ability to help victims. NPR's Laura Sullivan reported the story. She joins us now. Welcome, Laura.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
And give us the overarching. You spent months researching this. What did you find?
So NPR joined with ProPublica in this story, and we reviewed hundreds of pages of documents, including internal reviews and emails, interviewed top, current, and former officials. And what we found is really an organization that was struggling to meet the basic needs of victims. We found some surprising things, like an incident where the charity sent as many as 40% of its emergency response vehicles to press conferences rather than out into the field. There was another where they failed to show up as promised to open shelters, and another where in one instance they allowed sex offenders to hang out in a shelter's children's play area. In a storm weeks earlier, it even sent empty trucks to drive around to make sure to make it appear as though supplies were being delivered, even though they weren't.
That sounds incredible, sending empty trucks to make it look like supplies were being delivered.
Exactly. This was during Hurricane Isaac in 2012 in Mississippi, and it was days into the storm, and the bulk of the supplies still hadn't arrived. About 80 trucks were sitting empty in the parking lot, and officials ordered the drivers to ride around and make it look like they were delivering the supplies to people who needed it, even though there was little to nothing or nothing at all in the trucks. And one of the truck drivers who was one of the volunteers who had given his time, you know, his vacation time, as Red Cross volunteers do, to go do this, was said it was one of the worst experiences that he had had with the Red Cross yet. And a lot of top officials said it, even in that storm, that they were really caught underprepared, undersupplied, and understaffed.
Well, you say you talked to both current and former Red Cross officials for this investigation and reviewed hundreds of pages of documents. But these were internal documents. They weren't meant to be public?
That's right. These are the Red Cross's own internal documents, their assessments of themselves in the aftermath of both of these storms, Isaac and Sandy. And they really showed one document in particular was a lessons learned document that outlined some of these problems in the shelters. And another one that really called into question some of the logistics problems. One senior vice president said that multiple systems failed during the storm. These were very critical. Critical documents from top officials of the Red Cross at the Red Cross.
Well, and there were a lot of people, it seemed, who were becoming disillusioned. Among the people you talked to is Richard Reichenberg. Who's he?
Richard Reichenberg has been one of the top disaster responders for the Red Cross for 27 of the nation's worst disasters in the past 10 years. He's one of a handful of guys with the qualifications at the Red Cross to do this. And he actually resigned from the post in frustration. He did 20 years in the Navy. He joined the Red Cross because he wanted to help people. And he said that what he saw in Sandy really, he became really disillusioned with the organization and resigned afterwards. And I think we have a piece of tape from him.
It was just clear to me that they weren't interested in doing mass care. They were interested in the illusion of mass care.
So how does the Red Cross respond to all this?
So the Red Cross, says that, at one point called Richard Reichenberg one of their most valuable assets. But at the same time, they don't agree with his assessment of the organization. and that of other top officials. They say that it was a terrible storm. It stretched their organization to the max, that they've changed a lot of things. But for the most part, they have, throughout that storm and others, done a fantastic job that they're proud of.
And I think we have some sound from Trevor Riggin, Vice President of Disaster Services for the Red Cross.
That's right.
I think, the volume of services and the speed at which we provided it speaks to the quality of service of our volunteers and staff that were on the ground. I think there are details both in the documents you have and in other documents you haven't seen that help us learn how to improve our processes.
Well, Laura, part two of your report airs tomorrow on Morning Edition. We highly recommend it. And we're going to look beyond Superstorm Sandy and what happens now, to this organization. But just in the few seconds we have, did you hear from people who benefited from the Red Cross?
Certainly. Without question, tens of thousands of people were helped or handed a meal, stayed in a shelter that the Red Cross had set up, and a lot of people had good accounts. But I think the overall frustration was that the organization was promising something to the public that they were not delivering, actually, and as best they could on the ground.
We look forward to your report tomorrow. NPR correspondent Laura Sullivan, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.